She just started the recording. There we go. Good. So it's the P model we've been working with. And we started looking a little bit at the trickster. We didn't look so much at these outer layer here. But we looked at the alien and the beast. That's what we've been looking at over the last three times. So we looked at this. And before I go through the layers, what we are doing, just so we remember, because it's really important to remember the framing, we're using these models of personality in order to become aware of parts of ourselves that we otherwise might not become aware of. Because the more, the fuller picture we have of all our different personality parts, the more interesting it becomes when we ask the question, what are we beyond these personality parts? And so when we're looking at these layers, they are usually the kind of layers that we might not so readily admit to having. So we looked at this, the aggression, which operates often by taking sides of ourselves that we don't like, seeing them in somebody else, and then attacking them for them. And of course, it's important to remember with projection that I usually say the people we project onto are often good subjects. So sometimes people will say, I don't project, they are really like that. And then I will say, yes, they have certain traits so that it's possible for you to project on them. For example, if you want to see somebody else as highly aggressive, and then you wouldn't choose a devoted pacifist to project onto, because it would just be too much work. You will choose somebody who might be a bit assertive or something like that. Right? Welcome. Saul is here. So you would choose something like that. But that doesn't mean that you are not also disowning your own aggression and project it onto somebody else. So many times people can be rather aggressive, but at the same time completely unaware of it. So maybe, like, what would be typical examples? Oh, you see it a lot today. People fighting for fighting for justice or fighting oppression and seeing themselves as somebody speaking up for those who don't have any power, and sort of like the defenders, but not as the aggressors, even though they are highly aggressive. Another common example would be, there's a movie which I saw. What was the name of it? It's very interesting. Funny Games, it's called. It's a horrible movie. I don't even think I saw it to the end. It's called Funny Games. And there are these two guys, and they are very polite all the time. Very polite. It's very hard to point to what they're doing wrong, and yet they are absolutely terrifying and bullying everybody around them. It's like they will come and politely ask, oh, you know, can I borrow your phone or something like that? And then if the person says, no, I'm busy or something like that, they say, oh, but it's really important. And they just don't take no for an answer, but they are constantly polite. So it's interesting to see how aggression can sometimes be very hidden behind, for example, being very polite and civilized. Then we looked at the iron defense. And this is where you project something and then you cut off. So it's the talk to the hand attitude. And again, often we rationalize that behavior as setting boundaries or something like that. But it's interesting to see it as, because sometimes when we set boundaries, but at the same time we feel that we are 100% in the right and the other person is 100% in the wrong, there is something suspicious about that. Not saying it can never happen, but rarely. So sometimes it's the defendedness is as taking that attitude of, I'm not listening to anything the other person is saying. And then we talked about the isolation, this where we feel that the universe is a very lonely place to be. And sometimes we also distract ourselves from the isolation. In fact, many times our aggressive behavior, whether it's the attacking aggression or the cutting off aggression, can be in order to defend ourselves against things that reminds us of our sense of loneliness. And then we looked at the beast, which is if anger and aggression is something that we sometimes deny, then hatred is something that we deny in ourselves even more. And you'll remember that we distinguished between aggression and hate in a very specific way by saying aggression is the hot, warm, attacking thing, whereas hatred is the cold, subtle, calculating attacks. Hating is plotting the other's destruction and being able to wait years for it. Then last time we looked at the shock and the woundedness. And in particular, we looked at when you have that sense of... sometimes when you feel shock layers, you don't even feel them as shock layers. You just feel them as something that's frozen, something that is like a deer caught in the headlight kind of inner feeling. And for the woundedness, we looked at situations where you hold on to woundedness, where you keep it around and yes. And so today we have three layers left, and they have these wonderful names, Ring of Terror, Abyss, and Speck of Light. And I'll try to make these relatable, even though we're just going to work with them for this one evening. As you can imagine, these are themes that we could easily spend a long time on. But for the purpose here, it's just to get a flavor of when they emerge in our lives and what the particular way they feel to us, how they feel to us. So I'm going to say more, but just before I stop the screen share, the Ring of Terror here, I've written like existential fear of the void, and the void is another name for the abyss. So the abyss is the void perceived as loss of true self and essence. The way I see it is that these two are very interconnected. It's like there is a place in us that feels, and we're going to talk more about it, like a loss of self and a loss of essence. And then you have this boundary around it, or border around it, that kind of says, don't go here. So this is the Ring of Terror. It sort of advocates, if you come here, beyond this border is something you really don't want. So the Ring of Terror is like almost like these signs they put up when they cut off a road, because you shouldn't go there. And in the middle of the abyss is the speck of light, which is the memory of the true self, which is of course what drives so much of our behavior, that we didn't forget that we are essence. We have a vague memory that that's what we are, and that's why we keep looking for it. Good. There we go. Make sense so far? Sounds like a good theme for the evening. Good. Okay.